Hi everyone, just giving a quick intro to this episode. We had a whole Scream episode scheduled with our friend Simon Sager, who was on before, and ended up turning into a long catch-up between Simon, Carly, and myself, as we haven't talked in a while. So we didn't record most of the conversation, which just revolved around us catching up. But then towards the end, we did talk a little bit about Scream. So this is going to be a sort of a mini episode where we chat about Scream and some other horror topics with Simon, who just that week we recorded just joined the writer's room again for Grown-ish after being on strike. So we just had a lot to catch up on, and we didn't get to a whole lot of Scream and Halloween talk, but this is what we have, and it's just going to be audio only. We had no mics and just shitty lighting for Zoom call, so it's a low quality episode technical wise, but high quality guest. And just to give context to the beginning here, because it kind of starts mid convo, I just confronted Simon about his comment that Scream is for the girls and the gays, and the There Will Be Blood episode that we did, where we ended up talking about Scream for a little bit. And of course, as a straight white male, I had to find out where I fit in to the Scream universe. And that's to give you a little context for our conversation in the beginning. Hope you enjoy. Look out for some more episodes coming up. Let's do it.
Like, that's the power of the Scream franchise, is that it brings, like, it does unite everybody. And, like, I stand by that in terms of its, like, content, like, the content that it's presenting, is that, like, you know, in the most reductive of senses, like, the fun that it's had in the Fast and the Furious movies is, like, so heterosexual and, like, very straight and male. And the fun that it's had in the Scream movies is very fruity. That's what I think about the fun. But like, yeah, I think that's the true power of the Scream franchise, is that it does encapsulate like a larger audience than in an obsessive way. Like, not because obviously Fast and Furious has made more money, but like Fast and Furious doesn't have fans who rewatch it again and again and again and again and again, like the Scream franchise does. And so, yeah, I think like I have to retract what I said. Because it's not that the straight men aren't welcome in the Scream franchise. No, I'm not trying to gatekeep the Scream franchise. Like, we want all in this fandom. And there are many straight men who are more of, you know, bigger fans than I. But it is a safe space for queer people to exist as well, which I appreciate. And the girls. We always love the girls there, too.
Yeah, it's just funny. There was, like, around that same time, there was another thing that happened with Carly's coworkers. I got Carly into, like, one of those, like, Pokemon remasters that are on the Switch. And then I remember Carly was telling her coworker who's gay about it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, that game is for the girls and the gays." And I was like,
"What am I?" No, but I think that is more than anything, John. That is an indication of your character, because like I feel like at the core, that at its essence, that saying is like it's either toxic or it's not toxic. And if you are a fan of those things, then you're not toxic. You're the kind of straight man that the girls and the gays love. You're for the girls and the gays. Like, that's the thing. Wow. That's the thing, John.
I am a great person.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't deny. I knew you in college. You know, we were friends in college. I never felt threatened by you. Never felt threatened nor hated by you, which is a nice thing in the.
I really hated you too.
Good at hiding it. You're a great actor. You should be in the next
Scream franchise. Killers of the Flower Moon too. That's what
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, Simon always bringing the positive spin. Yeah.
No, but I was really reflecting on that. And when you guys asked me that, I was like, oh, I remember saying that to you guys, that was like how I viewed it. And I mean, obviously that's the population that I'm a part of. So I know that there are a lot of those people in the fan base, but it was a reductive thing to say.
I just sent this to Carly the other day. There was like because it reminded me of it too. There was some meme I saw that was like, when you say this is for the girls and the gays, can you say it's for the girls, the gays, and like Brandon too, because I also
I saw this. I saw this TikTok. Yes, that's exactly it. That's it, John. You're in that like small select group of not toxic men, which is great. We love that.
Yeah. I did watch the newest Scream, which I should have asked if you wanted to watch too.
Wow.
Have you seen any of them, Carly?
Yes. I've seen the first one. The first one I watched for the first time all the way through last Halloween season, I think.
Yeah.
And then I've seen part, which one was on TV the other day?
Scream 4, you've seen like parts of.
Yeah, I've seen like a good chunk of for some reason. But I think one is the only one. And then I always get it confused because growing up, for some reason, me and my friends would always watch the Scary Movie franchises.
Oh, so sure.
I, like, get it confused with if I've seen that or just a Scary movie. So,
See, that's, I've gotten triggered before by someone who said that the Scream movies are bad because I think they thought that they were like that weird and goofy, like the Scary Movie. Where Scream movies, of course, are like funny, but they like they're self-aware too.
Oh yeah, they're like elevated. Like it's very intentional. It's very elevated. Whereas like Scary Movie is like a spoof in the you know, and like and I listen. I know a lot of people who love the Scary Movies too, but like it's not the same kind of cinema. There's just like it's you know.
No, absolutely not. No.
I remember being like offended that like you don't get it. It's not. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
They do. They know the rules of cinema. In fact, they make the rules of cinema and then they break the rules of cinema.
Yeah, they make and break.
They do. Yeah, that is, I think like one of my favorite things about the Scream franchise is that it's consistently like, because the rules are so ingrained in it, to make another one that like it's in the DNA that it has to feel fresh and new and unique. So then in order for there to be a next one, like they have to have found a way for it to be unique and like evolved in some way. And I was like watching, I was really going down a rabbit hole and I watched like a compilation of all the openings for this, and it was like that's really struck me, like especially seeing them back to back like that. I was like, oh, the first one is masterful, of course, and nothing can really top like the sensation you feel like watching the first one, and then just like, you know, it sets tone so perfectly, it's brilliant. But like the way that every other one evolves from that, and how like each one has to find a way to be new, and even like with the two newest ones, where like in one of the main characters doesn't die, like in the fifth one she's attacked but she doesn't die, and then in this most recent one like the killer is revealed at the very end of it, even though you'd of course there's developments that make that not the case, but like the like those are, it's so funny that it's continuing to like find new ways to invent itself. I do really like that about it.
What is it, Dimension, is that the
yeah.
I see that, I'm like I get so excited.
I think didn't Dimension also do Spy Kids?
Yes,
totally. Yeah, they definitely. Yeah,
and that's how you know.
Spy Kids, I love.
Yeah, now
we're Carly's on board.
Yeah,
as you should be, Carly. There's that can be our follow up. Is
my God,
Spy Kids. I also love Spy Kids. There was there's no way to understate my adoration for, and I, for whatever reason we owned the second one on VHS. Yeah. So that's the one that I've seen the most. I've seen that an ungodly amount of times, even though the first one is superior.
In Spy Kids 2, who is the scientist again? Do you remember this?
Oh, like who, the actor?
Yes.
I can see his face, but no, I don't remember his name.
So he's super famous. He was in The Sopranos. Everyone loves him. He was Tony's cousin. He's like in everything. He's in Broad City. He's older guy. Maybe it was Spy Kids 3 that he was in.
No, because I think this was like the island.
So that was the first thing I ever saw him in.
Duh, yeah.
So that was the first thing I ever saw him in. So whenever people would reference him, I'd be like, oh, from Spy Kids 2?
And they're like,
no.
Yeah. Also in, God, why can't, now I can't even think of the movie, the Coen Brothers movie that, with the dude, why can I not think of the name?
Big Lebowski,
yes.
Oh yeah, you got that. Yeah.
Yes, the dude.
Good work. You're hired.
Thank you. I do have a Scream question for you. So there's six of them, right?
Yeah.
Did any of them not meet the high bar that you needed from them?
But I actually am interested to see what, not like an official ranking, but what ones are like the top tier for you, and what ones are like
I can give you a ranking. I love rankings. And I have to say the caveat, like, they do change. Like, my ranking does change depending on, like, you know, mood and, like, how, whatever, if I, like, see something new in them when I watch them most recently. So, like, always subject to change. But to answer your question first, Carly, and this is the one in my lowest ranking, the only one that I feel like really, I, like, don't, it's not even that I dislike it, but I just, like, feel like it's at a lower tier, is the third one. I like that one is, yeah, I just like don't find it as, I don't know, evocative or like interesting with the formula. And it feels like everything's a little too convenient. Like they just like threw it at the wall and they didn't put in the work to plant the seeds that they wanted to sow in the third movie.
Okay.
And so that like, that's the one that I'm like, not that I even dislike it. And I love Parker Posey. So anytime she's in anything, I'm like on board.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely would say that's my least favorite one. But then after that, it does get more murky. I'd say like my next least favorite one is probably the fifth one. Like all of these ones I like a lot, but yeah, I don't like them as much. But I'd say the fifth one and then the second one and then the sixth one. I actually really liked the sixth one. And I feel like I'm a little outnumbered now, but there are some sequences in the sixth one that like really just got my nerves tingling, like that ladder sequence. My god, like that one just like, and maybe it's recency bias, like it might go down the more I you know revisit everything, but I really really liked the sixth one, and I feel like the sixth one was a big improvement over the fifth one as well in terms of like the they had like figured out how to use this cast of core characters better, and I think performances were better, everything just felt like a little more like fine, you know, like a fine-tuned. And then my second favorite one is the fourth one. I'm like a fourth apologist. I like the fourth one. Seeing this is a sign that it's for the girls and the gays. Emma Roberts, whoa, what a turn. Her performance is insane and like very well done. I like, not that I don't have faith in Emma Roberts, because I do love Emma Roberts, but I genuinely think that like this is the best, that's the best performance she's ever given, is like in the Scream movie. It's like such an interesting turn, and the way that she plays it is so funny. But also like, you know, it's camp, but it's needy at the same time and believable. But the first one is untouchable and like is the one that reigns supreme in my mind. It's such an inventive thing. And it's so funny because even though I've seen all the other ones multiple times, the first one still like shocks me the most always. And it just like, even though the formula has been, you know, evolved and changed from this first one and these other ones, like the first one's, nothing is quite as visceral to me as the first one. And it's a top tier film, period, let alone like in the franchise.
Yeah, it's so good. I'd say my rankings are kind of similar to yours a little bit. I would say the first two are my top two.
Sure.
And then after that, but the third is also the third is probably my least favorite, but close with the fifth. I didn't mind the fifth one, but it's not, I don't think I'll like really go back and rewatch it.
Right.
You know, anything, you know, if I'm going to watch one of the newer ones, definitely the sixth one. I loved like the subway scene too.
Oh yeah.
And like just being in like the New York setting too, I really like. I've talked about this podcast before how much I like New York, but so I guess I would probably go like first two, then four would be my third.
Oh yeah, we're close then.
Yeah, I especially love, if we're talking opening sequences, I do love the fourth one, how it just goes like misdirection after misdirection. Like it's all like these layers and layers of like the different Stab movies. And yeah, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
So you've seen that intro.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that intro. Yeah.
Stab 7.
Yeah. And I also, I did say this in the beginning too, but I think on the episode you were on with us before, Luke and I were talking about how we had Screamathons in high school, which I think we maybe had one like legit one, and then a couple times we watched like one or two movies. But we had a Facebook group where there's probably like 20 people in it, and only like four or five of us actually watched them. But yeah, I just had like those good memories watching the first four with that. And I think the consensus among the group too is that the third was the weakest, because it was like getting late and we're like, okay, if we want to get through the fourth one, we might have to like fast forward a little bit through the third one. And I remember doing that a little bit, but
it is, yeah. There's something about it, like, yeah, I work in the industry. I love like a gimmick of a movie, love a gimmick of a set, and especially because like a movie is central to the premise of the Scream films in general. Like they always, you know, like it, I don't. It's not a stretch for them to like for something to take place on a movie set because they've always been playing with the idea of like reality versus fantasy inside this fantasy universe. But for whatever reason, like it just didn't. It was too gimmicky for me, and I. The kills are like interesting and fun, but I don't think they're as memorable as the ones from the other. Like this kill that I think I remember the most, even though this isn't my favorite movie, is from the second one, like the sound booth one where it's so good with Gale and Dewey. Like that is such a good. It's not even really a kill, I guess, but it's like so good. Like that is such a great sequence.
There's so many more like unique kills and stuff in the other ones and like the stronger ones that three doesn't stand out. Yeah, and in that one too I felt like the reveal was kind of deflating too. I was like, oh, it's that guy and he's her brother and I don't know if you'll watch that one either. But
maybe you'll forget there's so many, Carly, you never know which one, or maybe it was a scary, maybe he's talking about Scary Movie.
Who knows
Scary Movie 5.
Within the movie.
I totally agree, and that's like I think, and without spoiling anything, Carly, I don't want to ruin anything for you, but I do feel like the common trend also tends to be like the killers, the reveal of the killers that I don't like as much are the movies that I don't like as much as well.
Yeah,
you know, like it's just like that, that it does boil down to that, where like if there's a twist and I didn't see the killer coming, I love that movie then. Like it just like it does make it all worth it.
Yeah. Which, this is a spoiler for Carly, but I think you'd want to know.
Okay.
The killer revealed in Scream 5 happens to be Simon's picket line buddy.
That's true.
Which one?
Jack Quaid.
Jason Sudeikis. No.
It's Jason Sudeikis. Surprise. Yeah, it's Jack Quaid. Oh. Jack Quaid, nice man, Jack Quaid. Which is, I think, why, there's other twists. There's other things that are revealed, I think, that are not as strong in the fifth movie. But I do like I don't mind Jack Quaid as the killer. That one, like, I don't, that, you know. The other thing is, I feel like one of the weaker reveals. But the Jack Quaid of it, I think, is great. And I think that he does play, like, it's similar to, like, the Billy Loomis, I guess, in the first one. Like, he plays, like, a nice boyfriend well. And it's, you know, you're unsuspecting. You're lulled by his genuine sweetness a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's the thing too. It's I think when you rewatch them, you can still like you can see like, oh, okay, I can kind of see how like they're going to be the killer revealed at the end, but I still feel like they're like I don't know, it's not just like super simplistic and straightforward that you're gonna like, oh, it's totally that guy, like that, right. That killer, like at the end, like even with the one I just watched last night, I did not see it coming at all that you know who the multiple,
yep,
going to be. Yeah, that definitely caught me off guard. Exactly.
Do you know the movie that I saw this year that scared me so much, and it was like I only watched it once and I would love to see it again, and like I did see it in the theaters, maybe that helped, but it was the A24 movie Talk to Me. Have you heard of that movie?
I don't even think I've heard of that at all.
So it's like, it's by these Australian filmmakers who were like, are known for their, like, they made shorts on YouTube first, and this was like their debut. So it's like, it was pretty under the radar, and it's very indie, and it's like the cast is all unknown people who the directors were very specific about wanting in their film. But it scared me so much because it felt so real, and it's not like, it's not the kind of horror that Scream is, like self-aware, funny, like it's spooky, it's scary, but it's thrilling, but it's not like genuine terror, you know what I mean? Like I'm watching a movie and I know that. Talk to Me, like the way that it builds, and it's like its premise feels so reachable, it feels so like achievable, that I was like, oh god, like this could be happening right now. And I feel like it really used, like it almost used like the idea of TikTok very well. And like the basic premise is essentially that like there's this ceramic hand that when you like touch it, you like hold it, you like invite a demon to come, and you like say, yeah, you say, like, talk to me, and then it sits across from you and then you talk to it, and then you like let it inside. You have to say like, I let you in, and then you let it possess you. And the kids are like doing it as a party trick. Like that's what's, they're like, oh, we're going to do this for 30 seconds. And then like you let go of the hand and it's all fine. It's just like a party trick. And then of course the party trick like goes wrong. And that's there and is like where the horror lies. Not that I want to spoil anything for you, but yeah, like the idea of a party trick and like, you just like, it doesn't hide. It's not like trying to shock you in the sense of like, this is what, you know what you're doing. You know, you're letting, you're like holding a demon. You're like inviting a demon or a spirit to like come sit across from you. But that is like so scary. That feels so much more real and visceral to me than like a surprise haunting of a demon jumping out around the corner at you, because like, you know what you're doing. And then like, you can't deny the allure of that. Like if that was offered to me, like I would be genuinely curious to do that.
Yeah. Right.
It was very scary.
Okay. Well, I added that to my list. That sounds really good.
It is very good. Yeah. And the lead performance in it is also very good. She's like a relatively unknown relative newcomer, who was like, the directors were like very specific. Like, we need it to be her. We know we like her. We know she is a great actress, and she's very, very, very good in it.
Awesome. Do you like, would you consider yourself like a big horror person or?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I love horror. Yeah, and that, like, growing up, the cousin who I live with, she and I were, like, our big horror buffs together. Like, that's always been part of our, like, you know, what we've done together is, like, we love to watch scary movies together. So I have, like, it's very nostalgic for me, horror is. And then, yeah, as I've gotten, like, more and more into film, I've become more of, like, a scholar of it. I do feel like there are some, like, big blind, not so much maybe anymore, but I always used to feel like there were a lot of blind spots. Like, I would watch current horror, but I hadn't watched, like, the classics. But now I've seen, you know, The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby, like all those big ones that are, and Psycho, as you guys saw, that are like, that I love as well. So now I'd say I'm more of a scholar of it. And I really love horror.
Nice. Well, besides Scream then, like what are your other like greats?
My favorite movie of all time, you could call horror, it's like more fantasy horror, but that's Pan's Labyrinth is my favorite film of all time. And so like, there's definite, you know, Guillermo del Toro like is a, he dabbles in horror and the beauty of horror, like that is sort of like the through line in all of his work, so you could say, but I don't know that I would call it like a full-on horror film. But one of my, I think my second favorite film of all time is The Witch by Robert Eggers, which is like for sure a horror film. And I don't think there's a film that I'm more inspired by than The Witch. Like I love the aesthetic. I love like the thematic exploration. I love like the spirituality that is like sort of the back, just given like my upbringing in a very spiritual household. Like I love the idea of this family that's like governed by their spirituality, but that spirituality is like wrong or ill-informed, I guess in some way. Is so strong. And then like I have a deep, deep obsession with like witches and and like what that means as a queer male, you know, someone who's presumed male, like how you fit into that. So I've always been fascinated with like the idea of witchcraft and like the empowerment of that. And the idea of witchcraft, especially as we've seen it in media, is like it's usually women coming into their power and like accepting their power and that being something that scares other people. And I think like as a queer person, that's often how I felt, is like I am not allowed to accept like the femininity or the feminine side of myself. And so it feels like, you know, just like a witch accepting her power feels like very similar spiritually to that. So I like The Witch is, I love, and I think I draw from it in everything that I write in some way, some small way.
Wow, that's awesome. You haven't seen The Witch, have you?
No. Have you?
Yeah, I was.
I was going to be like, oh, I haven't seen it. But I thought you were going to say after that
beautiful. No, that is. I mean, no, that was so amazing that I want to rewatch The Witch right now, though.
You should.
I watched it with Jack and Brian when they visited me.
Oh.
Actually, when I lived in Cedar Falls, my friends visited me. We watched The Witch, and I think they wanted to show me Swiss Army Man. And I was like, and it was kind of, it was in the fall, I think. And we were talking about watching something scary too. And I was like, and they had already seen Swiss Army Man. And I was like, I'll watch that on my own time. You guys have already seen it. Like, let's watch something that none of us have seen. And maybe it's kind of scary. And then I was like, I heard this is good. And we watched it. And I feel like they weren't into it as much as I was.
Sure.
And, you know, when you're watching it with someone and it's, you can tell they're not like feeling it. Like, you know, it's just, I feel like I need to rewatch it again in a safe space where I, you know.
Yeah, you do. That's so fair. That and The Witch is also the kind of like it is calibrated perfectly for me. It's like all the things that I like in cinema. So I totally get that it's certainly not everybody's cup of tea, and like, you know, it's not for everybody. It's like the kind of horror that it is like very slow, very like it's a dread kind of horror. It's not like action packed, lots of things happening. Like it's not super stimulating. It's just like dreadful, and there's like a sense of dread, which is I love that kind of horror.
Yeah. Do you like any of the I do like some of the campy stuff from the 80s. There's like Reanimator is a fun one.
Oh, I do like Reanimator.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Reanimator. Yeah. Another one I saw called Society, which is really really weird. It's about just sort of like really affluent, like rich people, and there's like mystery about them, like what are they up to? And the reveal for that, I can't even like, even if I tried to spoil it for you, I couldn't even really describe what it is. But yeah, that's definitely like a body horror movie.
Sure. Yeah. And I do. I have seen quite a bit of John Carpenter, like both The Thing, you know, The Thing is, I do love The Thing. And like I said, I love Cronenberg. So like, yeah, there are like key touchstones that I love from the 80s, but I'll just put The Society on my list. Cause I love the sound of it.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I love it. We're just trading like good things to you. Watch Talk to Me. I'll watch Society. We'll get back. Yeah, I do agree with you, what you're saying too about like the modern trends of horror. Like I feel like it's almost inherent, I guess, in like the time that we're in, where we're just like so IP heavy and like just sort of redoing everything. And that's what I think, to bring it back to Scream, that's what like allows Scream to soar, is because Scream has always been that. It's always been like rooted in that idea. Yeah. Of like being meta and self-aware of like the property that it comes from, and like making up a property for it to come from. So it works for that. But I think like when it comes to, you know, other like Insidious franchise or the Conjuring franchise, or, you know, I guess the Conjuring universe in general, like The Nun, which is like an offshoot of that. It's just like, it's just so bloated. There's so much, there's nothing, like it doesn't feel original. It doesn't feel scary. It just feels like cartoonish.
You have to go.
I should, yes, as if we're, you know, but not that I honestly love just getting to talk to you guys. It's been so grand. So not that I want to run away from you, but.
Yeah, no, yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm glad we could just make an excuse to catch up. Yeah.
Me too.